Well, this morning as we begin, I'd like you to think about the person who first shared the gospel with you. I want you to think of the person or the people who opened their mouths and told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, who had power to forgive your sins, to enter into your life as your Lord and your Saviour. Who were the people who first told you about Jesus? Some of you were growing up in Sierra Leone or at university in Nigeria, and someone shared the gospel with you. Others of you responded to the gospel in Pakistan or Afghanistan, despite the risk and the societal pressure. Some of you, I know, were invited to secret house churches in Iran, where you heard the gospel and found the Lord Jesus Christ. Others of you from Honduras, El Salvador, Brazil, lived in places where the gospel was widely shared and widely heard, and someone shared it with you. And some of you first heard the gospel here at Harper in Plantation in Scotland. Here in this place today, we are a people, one people from maybe 40 or so different nations, and we are one in Christ. Because people from all of these different countries and different continents opened their mouths and shared the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think of the person who first shared the gospel with you. These were people that God used in your life to bring you to a saving faith. Now, in the book of Acts, Luke, the author of the book of Acts, has been keeping careful count of all those people who have been saved. In Acts 2:41, there were 3,000. In Acts 4:4, there were 5,000. There was a rapid increase in numbers in Acts 6, verse 7. And crowds of people were listening to the word in Samaria and believed Philip in Acts 8, verse 6. Vast numbers. But in the section that we are going to look at today, we see the journey of just one man and his salvation. Jesus had told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to wait for the Holy Spirit as he would give them power to be witnesses for him, his witnesses, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And in a sense, the book of Acts is an explanation of how the Christian faith was shared beyond the confines of Jerusalem, beyond the confines of Judaism, and ultimately became for all the nations. God had promised Abraham back in Genesis 12 that through him all the nations would be blessed. And the book of Acts really tells the story of how that begins to happen. I've already mentioned Acts 1 verse 8, where Jesus tells the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit, that he would come and give them power to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. We have Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost moment, where there's an outpouring of the Spirit, witnessed by folks from the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene. There were visitors there from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabians, and they were hearing them telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God, and they were amazed and they were perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Earlier in chapter 8, we have the Samaritans. Remember, the Samaritans were despised by the Jewish establishment. There was a huge dislike of both groups. And here we have the Samaritans hearing the gospel and responding to the power of God as the message of God was spoken. And it begins to radiate out from Jerusalem to Samaria and the whole world. And so this morning, this Mission Sunday, as we turn to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, and the story of the salvation of the Ethiopian man, we're going to consider the question, how can we be effective in personal evangelism and share the gospel in the world? How can we be effective in personal evangelism and share the gospel in the world? Well, firstly, notice from our passage that we can be effective in personal evangelism in a lost world by listening to the Lord. by listening to the Lord. In verses 26 to 30. Ultimately, the greatest evangelist in the book of Acts is God himself. The greatest evangelist in Glasgow is God himself. The greatest evangelist anywhere in the world is God himself. And so if we want to be effective in personal evangelism as we reach the nations, then we need to be listening to him and obeying him. Philip, who was one of the first deacons called, he was a gifted evangelist because he was listening to God. Have a look at verses 26 to 30. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.'" Now, I don't know what Philip's plans were. Perhaps he had planned to stay in Samaria and engage in the important work of discipling all of these new believers that God had saved in Acts 8, verses 1 to 25. Or perhaps he planned to return to Jerusalem and minister there. I don't know what his plans were, but when God spoke, his plans changed. Twice, Philip is prompted by God to go a certain way, to do a certain thing. First, Luke says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. And then the second time he says, the Spirit said to Philip. Now, I don't know whether the angel appeared to him or whether the angel gave him an audible voice that he could listen to or whether he felt an inner conviction. But one thing is clear, God was speaking and Philip was listening and obeying. Philip believed that God was telling him to go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. It was a desert place, but he felt that that was where God would have him go. He didn't necessarily understand why, but he rose and he went. And when he went down that road, he discovered a carriage carrying an Ethiopian man, or what's described in the text as an Ethiopian man. At the time when Luke was writing, this term Ethiopia, or this term Ethiopian, simply referred to a black African from the region south of Egypt, not to modern-day Ethiopia. It refers more to the area that the Old Testament consistently refers to as Cush, and it was later known as Meru. And today, that part of the world is known as the southern part of Sudan. But in those ancient literature, basically, if the word Ethiopian was there, it meant a black African. And this man was a eunuch, which means that he was castrated. And he was a high court official in the court of Queen Candace. Now, that sounds a bit strange to us, but it was quite a common practice to have high government officials castrated as they served and worked in the government. I can think of a few politicians who might like to bring that one back for, but we'll leave that there. This man was a high official, and he was in charge of the treasurer, a sort of chancellor of the exchequer. And the man was clearly a religious man, for we're told that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was almost certainly not a Jewish convert, since he would have been rejected by Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, which puts a prohibition on eunuchs from entering temple worship. Perhaps more likely, he was a God-fearer. He was someone who had developed an interest in the Jewish religion without ever necessarily being part of it. He was a religious man, even a devout man. But make no mistake about it, he was a man in need of Jesus, because being religious, being devout, is no substitute for actually knowing Jesus. He was a man who was excluded from Judaism by his nationality, excluded from Judaism by the religious conventions around eunuchs. But God was about to overturn all of this. Philip takes all of this in, And then we read, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join that chariot. Effective personal evangelism comes from listening to God and obeying him. And God speaks to us in all sorts of ways today. Firstly, supremely, he speaks to us in Scripture, and he's made it abundantly clear to us that we are to be engaged in personal evangelism. However, God's Spirit lives in us and prompts us to act in certain ways, leads us, guides us, gives us compulsions to go a certain place, to say a certain thing, to do a certain thing. Our God is not dead. He is alive. He speaks and directs and prompts his people. I wonder, will you ask God to speak to you about personal evangelism in these days, in these minutes, in these hours, in these weeks? Will you ask him to direct you and to prompt you and to show you how you can share the good news of Jesus with other people? So we can be effective in personal evangelism by listening to the Lord and obeying him. Secondly, we can be effective in personal evangelism as we take the gospel to the nations by taking the opportunities that God brings to us, verse 30 to 31. Hearing from God is one thing, you see, but responding to what you've heard is quite another. Philip has obeyed the Lord in that he has come down to the Gaza Road. He has obeyed the Lord getting close to the chariot, but now is the time to take the opportunity. Verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said to him, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. He took the opportunity that was provided him with a question. Funnily enough, I was going over my notes this morning and I remembered the fact that I was on a train on Friday night travelling back from London to Glasgow, and I was sitting next to a guy, and I took the opportunity to ask him a question. He was sitting reading a book on anaesthetics, and I turned to him and I said, I hope you're a doctor, not a serial killer. And that kind of set off a wee discussion that led us into some Christian things, into some discussion of the Lord. So questions are good things to ask as we begin the process. Philip says to him, do you understand what you're reading? Now, as he asked that question, there was something that Philip was clear about. God had gone before him. It was God who had brought him into this situation. It was God who had guided his footsteps, and it was God that had brought him across this man's path. And he just happens to be reading the prophet Isaiah. He's been listening to the Lord. Now he takes his opportunity. And he asks, do you understand what you're reading? I think it's interesting that he starts this conversation with a question. He doesn't launch into his pre-prepared statement. He asks a question. And often questions can be a good place to start in personal evangelism because they allow you to locate where a person is, what's going on in that person's heart. Philip was obedient to the Lord. Asked this question, and the Ethiopian responded, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. He had taken his opportunity. How many opportunities does God give us each week to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with people? At the bus stop, on the train, in the street, at the office, over the back fence? How often do we find ourselves kicking ourselves for our timidity as we wave goodbye to another opportunity? Again, as I reflected in my train journey, I felt a bit like that also. We talked about deism, we talked about Christianity and its growth, but I don't think I actually got to share with that man the clear tenets of the gospel. I'd let an opportunity go, pressed and arrived before we knew where we were, and it didn't happen. Philip had taken his opportunity. God brings these opportunities across our path, and we've got to grab them, we've got to take them and trust God for the outcome. And let us determine to take every opportunity this week. How can we be effective in personal evangelism as we reach the nations? By listening to the Lord, by taking our opportunities. Thirdly, we can be effective by knowing and speaking God's word. Philip has his opportunity and he's taken it. He gets up into the chariot with him. And now it's important to look at what Philip did. He took this Ethiopian man to Scripture, but started where the man was. God had been going ahead of Philip. God had been preparing a way for Philip. God had already ordained that this man would be reading the prophet Isaiah when Philip arrived. And so the conversation went straight to the Word of God. The man was reading Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. He read it out, "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The Ethiopian asked him, "Who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Now, when we read Isaiah 53 as Christians, it's abundantly clear to us that this is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, that these are prophecies of what would happen to him, the promised Messiah. But this wasn't at all clear to first century Judaism. The Ethiopian man was asking a question that many were asking, a debated point in scriptural interpretation, and there were three competing answers that were given. Some people said that it referred to the prophet Isaiah himself, that he was a rejected mouthpiece of God. Others said it referred to some other prophetic figure. And still others said it referred to the entire nation of Israel, whose sufferings were thought to be dealing with their national sins. However, at no point did any of the rabbis think that this message of the suffering servant was about the messianic hope, was about the Messiah himself. So this Ethiopian man who has an interest in Judaism is puzzling this out in his mind as Philip comes along and he asks Philip, "Who is Isaiah talking about?" Verse 35 says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." Philip began with this very scripture and told him of Jesus, the Messiah, the one who had been despised and rejected by men. He told him about how we did not esteem him. Philip would have explained that Jesus was a sheep led to the slaughter, and that before his accusers he was silent. Philip would have explained to him all about the cross and how, although Jesus was completely innocent, he was beaten and nailed down to a cruel cross and left to bleed and die. He would have told him how Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, how he was crushed for our iniquities, how the punishment that was upon him brought us peace. Philip took the Ethiopian to the scriptures, and his message would have been Jesus-centered. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly how we are to share the good news with people today. We take them to the scriptures and we tell them about Jesus. It doesn't matter what nation they're from. It doesn't matter what their cultural background is. We take them to the scriptures and we tell them about Jesus. It's not about being religious. It's not about doing good deeds. It's not about being seen to be devout. It's not about being a good person. It's about coming to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Personal evangelism today is not just about making friends, though that is important. It's not just about meeting needs, though that too is important. Personal evangelism is about taking people to the scriptures and introducing them to Jesus. And there are a whole range of good resources that can help us to do that with people, wherever they're from. You could use Word One-to-One. You could use Uncover Mark, Uncover Luke, Christianity Explored. Perhaps you could invite someone in your life to start reading the Bible with you. And if you're looking for some resources to help you to do that, then come and see us and we'll sort you out with those resources. If you're a bit nervous about that idea, why not arrange with someone else in the church to read the Bible together as a starter to build your confidence and your ability to lead people to Jesus in the pages of Scripture? Making friends and being nice is not evangelism. Social action and doing good is not evangelism. These are important things, but they are not evangelism. Evangelism is taking people to the scriptures and showing them Jesus, and people from all the nations get saved. How can we be effective in personal evangelism as we seek to reach the nations? By listening to God, by taking opportunities, by knowing and speaking God's word. Next, by leading people to the Lord, verses 36 to 38. By this I mean that we need to aim at a response. There is no point building friendship bridges over years if you never share the good news of salvation in Jesus' name and ask that person to respond. In fact, what kind of friend are any of us if we settle for friendship and never present the gospel or call for repentance and a turning to Jesus? Some of you may have heard of the American magic show Double Act, Penn and Teller. They've been around for a long time, I think 50 years or something they've been going. And Penn Jillette is the vocal one. The other guy's virtually silent. But Penn Jillette is an avowed atheist. But listen to what he says about evangelism. He calls it proselytizing, but listen to what he says. I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, and atheists who think people shouldn't proselytize and who say, just leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself, how much do you have to hate somebody not to proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And that comes from a mouth of an avowed atheist. How much do you have to hate someone not to tell them about heaven and hell and everlasting life? If you really believe it, then you need to tell it. And that's what Philip did. He was aiming at a response from this Ethiopian man, and he got one. Verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? He aimed at a response, and God granted the Ethiopian repentance and faith, and the Ethiopian commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Personal evangelism is about listening to the Lord, taking the opportunities he gives us, knowing and speaking the scriptures, and leading people to Jesus. This is what we're commanded to do. What Jesus said to his disciples, Acts 1 verse 8, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that command extends to us also. Friends, have we fallen into maintenance mode, where we sing our songs, hang with our friends, do things the way we like to do them? Or are we on mission mode, determined to be effective personal evangelists? Finally, we see that we can be effective in personal evangelism by working to God's agenda. We've already seen this a few times now. All the way through Acts, we find that the greatest evangelist that we come across is not Paul, it's not Philip, it's not Peter. The greatest evangelism we come across is the sovereign God himself. It was God who directed Philip to take the Gaza road. It was God who told him to get alongside the chariot. It was God who stirred the Ethiopian's heart with an interest in Isaiah 53. And it was God who granted the Ethiopian repentance and faith. Now, Philip might well have been thinking that his next mission field would have been the land of Meru. He might have thought he was going to be the first missionary to Africa. He might have thought that that was where he was off to, but look at verse 39. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. There were other people other towns and other places where the gospel needed to be preached, and Philip just had to work to God's agenda, not his own. Is that what we want? To be walking and living to God's agenda. Philip was carried away, but the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way, and I think that he might well have become the first missionary to Africa. Danny Hayes, an old friend of Maureen's, says in his book on a biblical theology of race, he says this: "This black African believed, was baptized, and returned home before the conversion of Cornelius in Acts 10, who symbolized the Roman world. The Ethiopian eunuch was also converted several years before Paul received his Macedonian call to take the gospel onto European soil." He continues, "We don't know what happened to the Ethiopian official or whether or not he evangelized anyone in his home, but it's clear that by the 4th century AD, Christianity was firmly established in the homeland of Kush, Mero, Sudan as we know it. And at the same time, it had spread to Abyssinia, modern-day Ethiopia, and all along the African coast. By working to God's agenda, Christianity gets to where it needs to get, and the gospel spreads across the nations. There are many people in this city that God will save. There are many people across the nations that God will save. Let us move according to God's agenda and see his kingdom extended. Personal evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. We are all different. We all have different personalities. We all have different spiritual giftings, but we are all called to be personal evangelists. How do we do that effectively? We do it by listening to the Lord and allowing him to direct us. That's the case whether the path is along the Paisley Road West or to the furthest parts of the planet. Will we hear him and allow him to direct our paths? Is God challenging us to personal evangelism? Is he challenging you? Will you respond? Is God challenging you to take the gospel overseas to a particular people group? Will you respond to that challenge? We respond by listening to the Lord and allowing him to direct us, by taking the opportunities that come across our paths, by knowing and speaking God's word, by leading people to the Lord, and by working to God's agenda. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God and a saving God. We thank you that you move in mighty power to save lost sinners. We know that because we've experienced that. We pray that you would help us not to hold on to what we have, but to share it with others. Lord, may we share the glorious gospel with all we come across. And we pray, Father, that you might even raise up some here today to go to other parts of the world with this glorious gospel of God. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.